here's a story from The World.
Let's turn to the environment now and the climate. The U.S., Japan, and Canada are all promising tougher new limits on carbon emissions. That happened last week at the virtual climate summit hosted by President Biden. When it comes to Australia, though, their government has been resisting calls to do the same. Prime Minister Scott Morrison did say that his country is striving to stop emitting new greenhouse gases.
Australia is on the pathway to net zero. Our goal is to get there as soon as we possibly can.
But he left out the important detail of when that might happen. Australia has promised to cut emissions by about a quarter by the end of this decade. Contrast that with the U.S. The Biden administration just pledged to slash U.S. emission targets in half over that same time period. European targets are also more ambitious than Australia's.
Compared to countries that are similar levels of wealth and size, Australia is pretty far behind.
That's my next guest, Australian climate policy expert Ketan Joshi. He says the reason why is pretty simple. Australian political and corporate interests are heavily invested in coal and natural gas.
Not just for the burning of fossil fuels from within Australia, but also the production of fossil fuels for sale overseas. Australia has this reputation as being a big coal country, and of course it really is. You know, it's one of the world's largest exporters of thermal and steelmaking coal. But it is also one of the world's largest exporters of natural gas, too. And that industry is something that has exploded in the past 5 years. Australia has overtaken a whole bunch of countries with far bigger populations to become one of the world's major suppliers of gas. It's actually a very large proportion of emissions from within Australia relate to the production of fossil fuels.
We should remember, too, that Prime Minister Morrison has been criticized for denying the science of climate change. However, we did hear this from him at the summit.
For Australia, it is not a question of if or even by when for net zero, but importantly, how.
Again, net zero meaning contributing no additional greenhouse gases to the atmosphere. Is that the sound of compromise?
I don't think so. I would characterize it, I guess, as an evolution of trying to figure out a way of continued inaction. That probably sounds a little jaded or cynical, but I think it's justified. Morrison very explicitly in that speech and in that clip said that he does not really want to talk about the when. But when it comes to the threat of climate change, the when is easily the most important factor because the problem of greenhouse gas emissions is that they add up. So getting to net zero in the year 2100 leads to a very different outcome for how much harm we suffer from climate change compared to getting to net zero in the year 2050. And what we're seeing more and more is just the phrase net zero becoming a way of obscuring a very, very, very slow decline in emissions. And that's actually a really big problem. What we know for sure is that you need to be taking action very soon. I think a good example is the US ambition to decarbonize the electricity grid by 2035. Getting the grid done in basically the next decade, you know, or less, is actually a really major part of making net zero by 2050 feasible around the world. And so even just the prospect of talking about a zero emissions grid within 10 years in Australia, that's not something even the opposition party is talking about. It's almost unthinkable.
I'm curious politically, how secure is Morrison's job as the reality of climate change becomes more evident to more people around the globe? And could a Biden presidency pressure him toward greater action?
There's probably going to be an election in Australia at least by May next year. I think actually that Morrison is going to face quite a lot of pressure. What he is really going to be doing is try and distract from the country's actual track record on emissions. And that sort of stuff tends to work within Australia and not so much outside of Australia. There's a bit less hiding from international scrutiny, particularly from countries that I guess are going to be making real sacrifices and aren't going to take the prospect of people who are sort of pretending to act particularly well. But there's also the very sort of real physical problem of being left behind in terms of energy transitions, losing opportunities for job creation. And then Australians just sort of watching that happen in other places around the world in the short term, you know, over the sort of the first half of this decade, and saying, well, why are we missing out? You know, it actually makes no sense. So it's going to become more of a liability, not just in the year where, you know, the US is holding summits and there's the big global climate meeting at the end of the year. It's going to be a problem going on into the future after that.
Australian climate policy expert Ketan Joshi speaking with us from his base in Oslo. It's good to have you with us explaining this. I really appreciate your time.
Thanks. Great to be here.